Hello, welcome to another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast, the podcast about what's really like to bootstrap a company. Every Monday, there's a new episode. So, last episode, we talked with Craig Hewitt. It was a great conversation. Craig is a great guy, top entrepreneur, founder of Castos, which is a hosting service. So, he's in the same area as PodSqueeze. And we talked about a lot of interesting topics. So if you haven't listened to this episode, make sure to go and check it out. But there are a few topics that we talked about in this conversation that I would like to bring back. I want to talk about distribution, AI, how those things impact each other, and a bit of the raising funds. I think that there were some interesting conclusions from last week's conversation. And last but not least, I want to tell you the story of how we were able to convert a landing page that was ranking on Google, but it was not really something that PodSqueeze could serve, but this page was within PodSqueeze, and how we were able to convert this into a business model, and now it's making money. So there's a lot of interesting things to discuss. Before we start, if you like this type of content, make sure to subscribe if you're listening to this on YouTube. And if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple, you can just give it a review. It helps a lot with the algorithm to get to more entrepreneurs. Now, let's get started. A few things that I really enjoyed from this conversation were his takes on AI and raising funds. And it was a conversation that I was not necessarily thinking on going to those topics, but I think they are so present these days that it's almost impossible. So let's start with raising funds. Raising funds, it's something that my co-founder and I are always thinking about. We are always playing around with that idea. Because as a bootstrap company, there's a lot of great things to it. But sometimes we just wish we had more money. Or at least I wish I had more money. I think my co-founder has different opinion on this. But I wish I could hire more. Especially when we are building a lot of stuff and we have so many ideas and we don't have so much time. And I often feel myself getting really sucked into the entrepreneurship world and maybe putting aside some of the other parts of life which are also important, namely social life, being with friends, enjoying other aspects of life, which I think it's also something to care about. But because there's so much to do, I feel that I need to always be working. So I feel that if I could hire someone, if I could hire someone to do the marketing, the coding, a lot of these things, that would be ideal. Maybe I wouldn't feel so stressed out. In reality, probably this is not true because I know a lot of other founders that have raised and I see them very stressed out because then they have the investors to please. But it's still something that it makes sense to consider. And the conversation we had yesterday with Craig, yesterday or last week rather, made me realize that some of the conclusions for which we didn't raise were valid. So one thing that he said is, the moment you raise money, the goalpost changes. What does this mean? So if you bootstrap your company, and if you're alone or if you have a co-founder, if you bootstrap to, let's say, 100,000 ARR, annual recurring revenue, which is a success, but it's not a huge success. There's a lot of other entrepreneurs or bootstrappers making more. But let's say you get to that. And let's say you are able to sell it. Now, if you sell a SaaS, from the report we read from Flippa, this website that sells other startups. And I did an episode on that, so make sure to go back maybe 10 episodes ago or a bit less, where we just go through all these metrics. But in this report, it says that on average, you can sell it for 3x. Of course, it depends on your revenue, on your profits, everything like that. How is the growth going? But let's say you sell it for three times. So you're selling it for 300k. 300k, if you're alone, it's a lot of money. So you build something that was making 100k. Let's say you have 50% profit. So you're making a salary of 50k, which is good. But then you have no more ideas and you want to do other things. You can sell it for 3k, 4k, for 300k or 400k, which is amazing. It's enough to buy a house. It's maybe not life-changing money, but it's a decent amount. In our case with PodSqueeze, our ARR is now around 200k. So we can sell it for, let's say, 600, which is, since we are two, it's basically the same. We'll be making maybe 300 something. It's good. It's quite good lump of money. If now we go and raise, right? First of all, we need to value our company more, right? So we cannot assume that our company will only make 300k. So we need to say, okay, our company will make 5 million. Wow. That's, first of all, a huge leap of faith. Because if we are only making 100k, 200k ARR, how on earth will be able to make 5 million or make the company value to 5 million? So for the company to be valued at this amount, we need to be making at least 1 million, 2 million ARR. So how are we going to 10x our revenue? So probably you have some ideas on how to do that with your business. We do have some ideas as well, but there's always a risk. What if you cannot do it? What happens then? Let's say you were able to grow your company from 100k to 500k ARR. That's quite good. If it was only to be shared with two people, then you could maybe each one bank 600k, which is amazing. But since you raised money, since you promised that your company would be valued at 5 million, when you're selling it, you get zero. Why? Because most of these deals, in their contract, it says that the money first goes to the investors that had the risk to put money, right? So maybe you raised 500,000. So if you raise 500,000 and now you promise them that the company would be valued at 5 million, first they take the money. Maybe you will be able to get 50K if you're lucky. Maybe you'll get zero. So that's what we mean with the goalpost changed. Now you need to make more. You need to make more. Another thing that you need to consider is, how is this even possible? Can we actually reach the 1 million ARR? And of course, you have some ideas on to get there, but it's really important to kind of analyze the market. That's also what we did with PodSqueeze. And there are a few questions that we asked ourselves. And one is there any other company in the same space doing something similar as you, making that amount of money? And we looked around, and we looked around to our competitors. We looked around to all this space, and we haven't seen anything. We haven't seen the signs of this kind of money. So this is a red flag. This says that, okay, probably there isn't enough money. The market is not big enough. Now, you might think, and I guess a lot of entrepreneurs will think, that maybe I can do it. The others can't, but I can do it. Probably you cannot. That's a huge risk, right? If you think that you can do something that others are not able to do, If you think that you can do, that you're much smarter or you have much better skills than others in that regard, probably you don't. Or it's a huge risk. You're betting on you heavily. You're betting a lot of money on you. So this is also one way. Another way is for you to evaluate how big the market is and how people are willing to spend. So for podcasting, for instance, we're always making this calculation. We know that there are 500,000 active podcasts, and we start making the calculations from there. How many of these people would be able or would want to pay for PodSqueeze, and how much would they pay? And by doing these calculations, you can easily see that it's really hard to get to the 1 million, 5 million. It's really, really hard. Maybe you can go B2B. There's always maybes, but you can see that the risk increases. And we are always playing with risk. We are always playing with statistics. So just by this, you can see that maybe it does not make sense to raise money, or at least to raise a lot of money. So one thing that Craig also said is that in their second round, they wanted to raise less, but because companies kept offering and wanted to join, then they raised 700,000, which was a mistake. So if you do analyze the market and you see that it's not possible to get to 1 million ARR, but it's possible to get to half a million or 400,000, then raise less. Raise less, make a safe bet, and make sure that you are able to get there. You will get money, your investor will get money, and everyone will be happy. This is really, really important. Now, you can also decide not to raise, which was our decision. And that's also valid. It's also good. First of all, you don't have the stress, the risk of getting to a certain amount of money. And as well, you don't need to worry about investors. You can start other companies, other projects. You can take a vacation. You can be more relaxed. But now, how do we solve that initial problem of always wanting to make more? Well, here we get to another topic, which is AI. AI is amazing and scary at the same time, in my opinion. Why is it amazing? Because now my designer co-founder is the main developer of our company. What does this mean? It means that now we can use Cursor, you can use Claude to build the product. So he already had the skills to build products. He didn't have the coding skills. But now AI is able to do that. At the same time, I can now build 10 times faster. I can multitask. I can do a lot of stuff. So we can use that. We can use that to be more productive. We can use that to make more things. And we can use that to replace other hires. We had people working with us, content writers, developers, that now we don't need because Cursor can do a lot of that work. Now, Cursor cannot replace yet top engineers, senior content writers, but it can replace mid-level or junior, which was more or less the type of work we needed. So that's amazing. At the same time, there's still work to do. There's always more work to do. The more you do, the more you want to do. So I guess you just need to meditate and think, okay, what is the things that I can do with the time I have? And think about long term, not short term. This is a huge mistake we make, which sometimes can be helpful, which is we want to reach 100k ARR in 2 months. We always put these crazy goals. And this is cool because it makes us really focus. And I think for human beings, having these deep focus times help. You learn a lot, you accomplish a lot, you get focused. But the problem is that this only works in sprints, not in marathons. Because it's not good for your mental health, for your health in general, to do the same, to get this goal for 1, 2, 3 years. At some point, you'll give up. So consistency is key. If you work for 1 month, that's amazing. But if you work for 1 month and then give up, it would be better for you to work less for 5 months. Because then you would have accomplished more. You worked more. So thinking in long term, I think it's important. You will always outpace your competitors if you keep doing it. Now, keep doing it doesn't mean that you just do it even though it's not bringing any results. You need to be also very focused on. And I think the 80-20 rule is very, very important. There's always 20% of things that bring 80% of the value. Always try to find these things, I think. That's what we try to do, even though it's hard. Sometimes it's one of those type of advices that I don't like getting, so maybe I shouldn't be giving, because it's, you cannot take anything specific out of this. What are the 20% things that will make 80% of the results? We don't know. That's the problem, right? Most of the work we do is trying to find those things. So maybe scratch a bit this last advice. It's hard. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to fix the how much you should work, because in theory, the more you work, the more you get there. But in the end, it's a personal decision. And again, I think consistency is very important. So if you think that you're working a lot, but then your life will be miserable and you'll eventually burn out, give up, then it's not worth it. You are your main asset, right? Another thing that we discussed in this conversation was the fact that AI also has some negative things, because it's replacing jobs. The same thing that is positive for us, entrepreneurs, can also be very negative. It's replacing jobs. What will happen to the economy? What will happen to your clients? Craig said that, which was kind of scary. He said, I'm not worried about OpenAI releasing something that will make my business obsolete, which is something that I'm also worried. But he was worried instead that OpenAI will take the jobs of the people that are paying for his tool. So we'll get to a market where people are let go and they will not be able to make their podcast. They will not be able to do whatever, that even like eating out and buying burgers. Because I thought that as a way to avoid being kind of overtaken by AI, we could build businesses that are, they cannot easily be replaced, at least yet, by AI. Which, flipping burgers seems something that AI is not very interested in. But if people cannot afford buying the burgers, if we are destroying a whole segment, if the whole tech industry is destroyed, or at least there's a lot of people being let go, then can also affect, we can actually get into a recession. Now, I think it's still too early to say what will happen. Maybe AI will just stop evolving, or maybe it will evolve to another level and we'll have other jobs. So it's very early to say, but it's something that we should maybe consider. And one thing Craig said is that you would like to focus on businesses that are not that people will always need, even if they don't have money. That's the thing that they will spend the money on. That's the thing where they will spend the last cent. And he said garbage disposal, bins, and things that like kind of you need in your day-to-day life. So that's good. That could be a good bet. I think diversifying is always good. The last topic of today's episode is about how we converted the landing page to something that is now making money. So I like to say that there's no bad ideas. Every time we start doing something, we start getting into a new business, a new idea, it will always take us somewhere new, even if it's not our initial goal. So one thing that happened was that we created a tool to enhance your audio. We were going to a conference. We went to a conference, rather. And we saw these guys. And they had this API, and I told João, hey, maybe we can bring this to PodSqueeze, could be helpful. So we brought it to PodSqueeze, we implemented that feature, and we created a landing page, audio enhancer. And We translated this page to a lot of languages, and we realized that it was bringing a lot of traffic. We had a lot of traffic coming from not only English-speaking countries, but especially, actually, Arabic-speaking countries, India, Brazil, France. And we're like, wow, we have so much traffic, but it's not, we're making no money. We realized that the people that were coming for these pages did not want PodSqueeze. Most of them were not even podcasters. They were short content creators, musicians. They wanted to enhance their audio for other reasons. And PodSqueeze was not made for that. So after a while, we made the decision of destroying those pages. I know it seems kind of crazy, but that's what we did. We realized that, hey, PodSqueeze is not serving these people. They are just creating accounts. They are just using the free tier, and we are losing money on this. Because the free tier, we have to pay for it, and it's not worth it to pay for it if they are not our target users. We are just wasting money. That was the reasoning, and it makes sense. So that's why we kind of killed a lot of these pages and changed the keywords of others. So we, on purpose, reduce our traffic. And we let it go for a while. Recently, we thought, okay, can we make money with this? Not through PodSqueeze. It's too complex. It's too target for podcasters. But what if we make a little snippet, like a little tool within our website that is completely different flow than the main PodSqueeze flow, but it's just for audio enhancer? Once again, using AI, my co-founder was able to do this quite fast. And the flow is very different. They don't even register on PodSqueeze. They go, they convert their file. We show the result of 30 seconds of that file. And if they want the whole file, they need to download it and pay for it. And it's $3, the cost. We made that in one or two days. And the moment we launched, we were making money. We were in business because we had the traffic. We had the distribution. Distribution is key. Now, we are not making a lot of money yet. Our MRR is around $300, $400 with this. But because we also killed a lot of these pages, we have less traffic now. So now we thought, okay, let's bring these pages back. We need to get them ranking again on Google because, you know, this is a business model that people are willing to pay. It works, it's scalable, it makes sense. How we'll go from here, we don't know. Because again, it's very different than PodSqueeze. The type of clients are different. Maybe the market is bigger, we don't know. So we are exploring. But this is a great lesson to show that more and more distribution is the most important thing. Because before, building a product like this would take months. But now, with AI, it takes days. So building product is not the bottleneck anymore. Now, the bottleneck is distribution. And that's why people, indie makers that have big audiences, right? Like Peter Levels, Tony Dean, Mark, those are the main ones. Dimitro that I had here in the podcast as well. They have this huge asset, which is they can distribute really fast. So one thing that I recommend and one thing that we're doing is start writing down all your distribution channels and build something for those distribution channels. So for PodSqueeze, for instance, something that is cool is that our users are mostly podcasters, but a lot of them are also business owners. So maybe we can use our newsletter that goes now for, it gets opened by 8,000 people, which is quite decent. We can use this to bring traffic to other projects we have. Makes sense. Building other tools for the same market, we can also do this. Use your distribution. And if you are building something new without a distribution, it will take more time to take off. That's for sure. We were lucky with PodSqueeze because we started in the AI trend and we got a lot of excitement from people. So we were able to grow faster. But using those distribution channels and creating them. So if you're building something from zero, it will take more time. But even if the product doesn't work, you still might have a decent distribution channel. You still might have emails from people that are registering. You still might have an audience on a social media network, on YouTube, SEO. So you're all still building distribution channels, and that's so important. This is the future. Building tools, products is not a bottleneck anymore. Distribution is key. And that's how I want to leave you in this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Once again, if you haven't listened to the interview I had with Craig Hewitt's last episode, go and check it out. There's also other interviews. I want to bring more. It's just a bit hard for me to organize everything, but I want to bring more makers to the podcast because this is how we learn. But there's a lot. If you go back in the catalog, Rob Walling, Dmitro, Peter Levels, Thibaut, there's a lot of episodes from people that have shared great, great advice and that I've learned a lot with. And I think you should listen to those interviews. And yeah, once again, if you like this content, make sure to give it a review. As you're listening to this, go up, clicking the 5 stars. That's awesome. And if you want to chat with me, my handle on Twitter is WBTiago. You can DM me there. I will also put my LinkedIn here. And any questions, any topics, anything that I can help you with, shoot me a message. And we'll be back next Monday. Until then, keep shipping.